There we go. All right. Open your Bible to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. This is about the second Sunday I didn't get to make my rounds and see everybody. I was preaching at Beto unit this morning and just got here a little bit ago, so I done preached four times. This will be my fifth time this week, so see if we can make this happen. Before we do, let's just pray. Lord, I love you and just thank you for, God, just your goodness and your mercy and in our life that you pour out every day, Lord, not on just believers, but unbelievers also, God. You rain on the just and the unjust, and God, you show your glory and your goodness to us each and every day, even if our eyes are closed to it. And I just pray you would open our eyes today, God. I know the old devil just tries to beat down your people and take away hope and to fill our minds with things that are untrue and lies to get us to detour and go a different direction, God. And as we look at your word, I pray, Lord, we would hear truth and we would believe truth. And God, we'd see the power of it when it comes into our life. Lord, I just pray, Father, that you be glorified through this. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, looking in Luke chapter 15. I do want to say this, is that Gurney unit yesterday, me and a couple of guys, and 20-plus men made a profession of faith in Jesus. Man. That was awesome. That was good. Looking at chapter 15 and verse 1. Watch who Jesus talked to. He says, "Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So he spoke this parable to them, saying," and he goes into the parable. And so when you look at that, we're going to be in verse 11. When you look at this parable, Jesus has two groups here. He has the religious, the self-righteous, the ones who think they have it all together. And then he's got the total bipolar opposite, and it's the tax collectors and the sinners. That would be people in that day where you go, man, they walk in the church, roof falling, that kind of people. And so you see the religious or the churchy people are getting upset because these sinful people are coming around. And I want to start off by saying this, that that your life is the result of what you believe. What you're living out, you can pretty much look at what a man or woman believes by the way that they live and what they live out. We can come to church and we can say and we can profess and we can do all these things, but your actions, like the Bible says, you'll know a man by his fruits. And so there's a lot of people who say one thing and live another. People call it hypocrite, you know, probably lost and don't know the Lord to start with. And so here's all the devil has to do. All he has to do is get you to believe a lie. If he can deceive you into believing something wrong, you're going to act upon that and you're going to leave it out. And that's why God's word is so important to us, because it's the unchanging truth. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I can go to God's word no matter what I feel, no matter what my environment or my situation or my circumstance is. I can go to God's word and I know that it overrides my basically my logical brain and my emotions to always speak truth to me in my spirit. Does that make sense? You know, one of the things that I told, I've shared this message with them guys out there this morning, and I told them, I said, you know, I got kind of a different testimony. You know, when they stand up and give their testimony, it's like, wow, man, that dude, he's been here and done that, and this and that, and God brought him up, and here I am. I have to get up and go, I've never tasted alcohol. I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never been to a party. You know, and those kind of things, and people look and go, well, what have you done? Done plenty. Done plenty that you don't need to know about, all right? But here's what I want to say. Maybe some of you here and go, you look at your life, you know, yeah, I'm a pretty good person, I'm a moral person. Let me explain something to you. One of the worst things in the world that ends you up in hell is religion. believing you're pretty good, believing that you're okay, you don't need all this stuff, and that, you know, you and Jesus got your thing. That mentality, one of the most disgraceful things we can do is come to church and sing and talk about the Lord around the Lord's people, and we get around these things, we talk about Jesus, and then we go out and we live something that's totally opposite of that. Because that's just blasphemy to what Christ has done for us on the cross. And so it's not always, hey, the drug scene, the, you know, alcohol scene, and you know, killing and robbing and raping and stuff. Understand, religious, being religious and empty inside ain't no different rape.
That's right, amen.
You understand that? Biblically, it's no different. And if that offends you, it's probably because you're religious.
Right.
Y'all with me?
Amen.
Stand up. It's going to be better than what I thought. I like this. All right. So here's where I am. When I was growing up, you know, I don't go to a lot because I've already shared this with y'all so many times. You know, I was raised in a super godly family. Mom and dad loved Jesus, lived it. They wasn't hypocrites. They lived it. So I was raised up in a church there. Every time the doors were open, all that. But I didn't understand grace. I had a mentality of a performance-based. That's what religion is. It's a performance-based approach to God's acceptance of me. And when you are told, my mom always told me, you're such a good kid. Like, you are so deceived. She still does, I just don't believe you did all that. I'm like, Mama, you're believing something wrong. I did all that, all right? But anyhow, when you're hearing all that, be careful what you tell your kids. Oh, you're just a perfect little baby. Like, you're instilling things in them, just sending them away from the Lord. Tell them, you know, I love you, but you're a sinner. You're a sinner. Your kids can't be saved. You can't be saved if you're not a sinner. You want your kids to be saved? Convince them they're a sinner. Take God's word and show it. I got to turn on some air conditioning, I think. Y'all done got me nervous. So I was one of those, wow, I was one of those good kids and went to church all the time and said the books of the Bible when I was three and got my first Bible and did all that stuff. And then I grew up with an that God had this expectation. When you look at these two sons, you'll see, starting off in verse 11, watch what it says. It says, a certain man had two sons. The younger, which was the less wise, of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that you owe me, that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after it, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country. You got two sons here. Later, if you keep reading this chapter, you'll see that the oldest son stayed there and worked. He was responsible. Both sons are on the opposite end of the scale. The youngest son basically had the thought process of he didn't want his daddy telling him what to do. You know what the biggest stumbling block in Christianity today? Not American Christianity. See, American Christianity says, you just walk the aisle, pray the prayer, get baptized, and live however you want to. We all fall, we all fail. It's okay if you sin, everybody sins. Go out and live like the devil. Come to church on Sunday, do your best. Jesus will cover you. It's not in the Bible.
That's right.
It's not in the Bible. That's the American gospel. And what the American gospel does, it totally obliterates the Bible. And that's why so many people who say they're Christians do not see the power of God and the freedom of God in their life. And so their life looks a whole lot like this story weekly. Because they, I've heard so many people say, man, I just get tired of going to church on Sunday. You know, you feel guilty and then you get up and go out and just do the same thing. I'm like, I got tired of that too. It's called I was lost and I needed Jesus. I go to church and I'm religious and I do these things. And I'm like, the preacher preaches on something. Usually back then it was especially a law message and it made me feel guilty. And he stepped on my toes and my knees. And everything else, I walk out and be like, in my flesh, I'd be like, I'm going to do better. You know why? Because I'm a church person. My mom and dad expect me to do better. So I'm going to do better. And then the next thing, you know, by Sunday afternoon, I wasn't doing better. Are y'all with me? Any of y'all struggle with that? You're like, man, it just feels like I try harder and I make these commit. I commit to God and I devote and I pray all this stuff. And then, boom, there I am. I'm right back into, you know what the Bible says? Can a leopard change his spots?
Nope.
Person can't change your nature.
That's right.
If your nature hasn't been supernaturally changed by the Spirit of God, you still have the same sinful nature. And you make all the commitments and devotions and all you want to. But when you walk away from the crowd, the real you goes, this is what I love and what I'm going to do and what I'm going to involve myself in. I'm going to go right back out, but next week I'll come back to church and I'll be okay. Because isn't that what Christianity is? Everybody's like that. And so here's the thing. That kind of thought process leads to a whole lot of guilt and shame and frustration. And I think there's even believers who live in that process who've been born again. And if, and then especially when we do fall, you have a heart to go, I really want to honor God, my life and all that. And you make a bad choice in your life because we still make bad choices. And rather than come back to grace and mercy, trusting in what saved you, you start trying to make up for it. And next thing you know, you got the devil giving guilt and shame and trying to drive you away from the only one who can help you.
That's right, amen.
And so this boy is like, I got to get away. I can't do this anymore. But here's the thing, he wants the goods. He just don't want authority in his life. He don't want his daddy's authority. There's a lot of people who go, I want a savior. I want God to save me. I still want God telling me what to do. Don't worry. It doesn't work that way because he's Lord and Savior. And when your heart is changed, listen to me. I'm going to give you some things to chew on this morning. Chew on them. Chew on them like a piece of fat. When you are changed by the Spirit of the Lord, born again. The only people saved are people who are born again.
That's right, amen.
If you've been born again, think about this. You have a whole new heart and nature. It's the heart of God that he puts inside of you, the heart of Jesus, and Jesus loves his word.
That's right, amen.
He loves his people. If I'm a born again believer, you know what I do? I'm surrendered to the authority and I want to be obedient to God's word. It is the absolute authority of my life as a daddy, as a pastor, as a husband, as an employee, as a friend, as a brother, as a servant. God's word says it. That's it. It's the authority. Zero question.
Amen.
So, well, it's just because you're ignorant. No, I promise you, I'm not ignorant.
Right.
And it's very logical, and it turns out to be good. Don't go trying to take what the Lord's done give me. You can have what you got if this is not the authority of your life. Because you'll see what you're going to get. So this boy takes off real quick. The other brother, he's on the opposite end of the scale. One is not good enough. The other brother's just too good. He's so good. The father's impressed. That's what religion does. You ever get to about Tuesday, you start having a little trouble, and you're like, man, what's the deal? I went to church on Sunday. Y'all ever say that? I went to church on Sunday. Man, I put $15 in a plate, even though I made $5,000 last week. That's just, all right, there you go. I said, man, he's getting touchy. Touch on, fire me or follow me, all right? But here's where I'm at. Like, being too good, it's because you go, I did all that. You know what you're saying is, God, you owe me. I went to your church. I listened to that stupid pastor get him try to make me feel guilty. Had to listen to him for 45 minutes, maybe 50, depending on what the day he brings. And here I am already having trouble on Monday. That's what the oldest son is. You owe me. You owe me. That's too good. And then you got the other side of this. I never can measure up. I'll be honest with you, I'm appealing to the people who can't measure up this morning. If you're too good, God will deal with you.
Right.
Now watch this. The oldest boy, he gets his goods. Verse 13, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. He journeyed into a far country. He's like, I want to get as far away from this as I can possibly get. And then notice what he did there. He wasted his possessions with prodigal living. He wasted the very most precious thing that the father bought and gave him. He didn't earn this livelihood. It was the father who gave it to him. God's given you life. God's given us talents and abilities. He's put his glory upon us. The Bible said, what is man that you consider him? He's been made a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory. The glory of the Lord. You created the image of God, and we should return that glory to God in any and everything that we involve ourselves in life with. And here's the thing. He wasted it. Man, I was out there at that prison this morning. Whoo, you should have heard their worship team. I mean, honestly, God is one of the best. Out of TV, out of everything, I was sitting there going, I could sit there all day. It was amazing. And here's this dude on a piano. He's over there. I'll tell you who he reminded me of. He looked like The Rock. You know what I'm talking about? You know that dude's name. He's a filthy star on Hollywood. Okay. But anyhow, so this dude's up there and he's playing the piano. He's over to himself. He's not put on a show. You know, they're over there playing. Four guys up on stage singing. I mean, like, and that dude's he's pointing to the guitar player. He never misses a lick. I'm like, this dude is so talented. You know what he's doing? Wasting it. Like, now he's using it, but I go, prior to this, God has enabled you with something that is a gift. And you know what you did? You just wasted it. How many of you are wasting the livelihood that God's given you? showing your glory to the world, spending all your time doing it, totally just walk off and don't think nothing about what God's blessed you with, take it for granted, complain about what he hasn't given you. I'm like, do you realize God made you special? He made you in a certain way. He's gifted you with abilities other people can't give. You can reach people that nobody else can reach. There's no telling, there's no limit of what God's willing to do in your life. And you just throw it away for whatever reason. Prodigal living. He threw it away for the world. I don't care nothing about what dad gave me. I want to go out because you know why? Because we're missing it. Man, we're missing it. There's so many people, God, just feel like I'm missing it. How can you just say you want to serve the Lord and live for Jesus and all that? Don't you feel like you're missing it? I'm like, nah, I don't feel like I'm missing it. You know why? Because I already lived that stupid life, and it was stupid. It was totally destructive is all it was. And I wonder, you know, what happened with Adam? God gave him everything. Like, I give you every tree of the garden, eat, it's beautiful, blah, blah, blah. I give you all these things. One tree, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day you eat thereof, you will die. You know what the devil said? He's holding out on you. You're missing it. And so we just, like, I can't take it. You know why? Because I don't trust God. I don't believe God. I believe a liar. I believe the liar that always says, you know what? That preacher's only in it for the money. That church just, boy, that's full of hypocrites. That's what the devil tells you. You know what you do? I believe it. I ain't going to be a part of them. You know why? They're all fake. No, they ain't. There's people in this church that lay down their life for me and I for you.
That's right, amen.
Ain't nothing fake about it. Now, are we perfect? No. Are you? No. So if you want to come be a part of something that's real, come and be a part of it. Because it amazes me how many people go, oh, that church is fake and a bunch of hypocrites. And I'm going to go, so everybody at your work is 100% devoted to the company and they bust their hump from the time they get their own time every day till 30 minutes after that job. And they don't care if they get paid. If they don't do that, you know what you work with? A bunch of stinking hypocrites. And you're probably one of them if you're not careful. But that, you know what? You're going to be up in the morning rolling to work. So don't use that excuse. You know, here's what I say. Just be real with God and go, God, I don't believe you. I don't believe your word. I don't believe you're good. I don't believe that you're worth living for. I don't believe you're worth singing to. I don't believe you're worth serving. I don't believe the Bible. I don't want to get up and read it. I don't believe that prayer does anything. So God, I'm going to do what I want to. I'm going to take my stuff and I'm going to go into a far country because I don't want you telling me anything. So that's what this boy does. Everybody take a drink. That's hard to swallow. Amen. All right. Gosh, y'all quiet this morning. You know what quietness shows? Guilt. All right, now, verse 14. Amen, because there's a lot of people in here who need amen. Verse 14, but when he had spent all, watch this, totally bankrupt. You know what sin does? Sin takes you to the very depths of as most destruction as it can, and it takes everything away from you. That's what the devil doesn't give. He just robs and takes. He takes your hope. He takes your joy. He takes your time. He takes your life. He takes your wife. He takes your kids, your grandkids, everything. He just takes it all away. Why are so many people living in depression and struggle and stress and anxiety? It's because the devil just took away everything that God's like, here's what I got for you. I got love and peace and unity and power, and provision and goodness and mercy and blessing and favor. I got all those things. Whatsoever you do, I'll prosper. You put your hand to it, you get under the authority of my word, and I'll show you who I am. Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I would rather be like everybody else. Watch what happens when you look like everybody else. Verse 15. And when he joined himself, he spent all. Maybe here today you go, I feel like I'm spiritually bankrupt. That's a good place to be. You know why? Because you don't have anything to offer to the Lord. When you come to the place where you go, I don't know what I'd offer to the Lord. You're in an excellent place because the Bible said he came to preach the gospel to the poor.
That's right.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who are totally bankrupt, who have nothing to offer to God whatsoever, and all they can do is come and ask for mercy because he is full of mercy and his mercy endures forever.
That's right, amen.
Whew, it's good, ain't it?
It
says in verse 15, then he, there arose a severe famine. Man, it's just getting worse. If you think your sins carried you far, you ain't seen nothing yet. He began to be in want. He had great lack in his life. I hear people all the time talking about, oh man, just such an emptiness, I'm missing something, all this. I'm like, when the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack.
Right.
How do you know you're following Jesus? Are you lacking? How do you know you're walking in fellowship with the Lord? Think about this. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. That means I'm following him. He causes me to lie down in green pastures. Whose pasture is his pasture? He leads me beside the still water, very refreshing. He restores my soul. He's the ruler of my soul. When God is the ruler of your soul, then you reign in life. When God doesn't rule your soul, you're enslaved in life.
Yeah.
And then he leads me to the valley of the shadow of death. Fear no evil. And watch this. You prepare before me a table. God does what? Who prepared a table? God did. Who provided for the table? God did. It's a table where you flourish. You understand that? Now watch this. This is the opposite of that. Verse 15, he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent swine into his fields to feed, or he sent him in the fields to feed his swine or his pigs. And now watch this. Brian, I'm sorry you're having to listen to this stuff again. I very rarely preach something twice, but I just got to do this. And he said, watch this. It says, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Where's all the friends? Where's all the parties? Where's all the people that was around when you was the life of the party and the financer of it? They're gone. Because when the goods are gone, when you're in it for the goods and the goods are gone, they're gone.
That's right. Come on.
God's people stick with you through the thick and the thin.
That's right. Amen.
But I want you to watch this. It says, he would have, underlined in your Bible, gladly eat what the hogs were eating. Do you realize what God created, the life that God has for every person sitting in this room? Listen, I don't care what yesterday was. Yesterday is written in the books. It's over. We can't ever go back. So let's talk about today. From today forward, do you realize the hope that you have in Jesus and the life that he will provide for you if you'll just trust him and follow him? Most of us don't know. What we're doing is we're glad to eat with the pigs. And we look around and go, you know what? This must be good because that's what everybody else has. We're in the pig pen of the American dream and we think we're living the life, baby. Woo, man, I tell you what, I got so much debt. I'm over my head in slop. I look like everybody else. I've had 7 divorces. My kids are all in jail, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I go to church every Sunday. I don't know what God's doing, but there's not a whole lot of power in this whole Christian thing. I'm just glad to have what everybody else has. And I told them guys this morning, I said, you know, I ain't never done drugs, so I have a hard time relating to it. But on the outside looking in, let me explain this to you. From the outside looking in, I look at people, and I'm not being judgmental, by no means self-righteous. I'll help anybody, love everybody. If you're on drugs, I'll jump in there and help you as long as you're ready to come out of the hog pen. I ain't gonna wallow with you.
That's right.
But you look and you go, One of the things that breaks me yesterday at Gurney Unit, I had a kid, a little Spanish kid. He wasn't little, he was kind of heavy. He walked to me after services. He's probably about 23, 25. Dude walked to me and just broke. He started bawling. He said, please pray for me. This is my first time in. I got 25 years for aggravated. He was just broken. And I'm like, you can go, well, you should have done good. Man, get off your self-righteous junk. I'm like, but by the grace of God, I'm not standing in your place.
That's right.
And I just looked at that, and it broke me. I was like, man, this is terrible. God didn't ever intend on you spending the one precious life that you've got in prison.
Man.
You think God created you to live in prison? Let me ask you, you think God created you to live how you're living? Just in misery? Wake up every morning and say, ugh, man, I can't wait to get home so I can drink so that I can deal with this misery. A lot of people doing drugs. A lot of people doing pharmaceutical drugs because they're miserable inside. And you look at people's lives just, oh, dead and running crazy and trying to keep up with everything. And no peace and nothing. I'm like, just stop for a second. Just stop and go, do you think it's God's plan for my life? Really? Do you think this is what God created me to do? And a lot of you say, well, it's just life. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's life if you let it be. It's life if you don't rule. It's life if you give control to the tyrant who wants to lead you to hell and back.
That's right.
And so you're believing a lie. You're believing that's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. You go to work and you work all the time and you hate your job and you're miserable and you gripe about what you don't get paid and you know it's never enough and then you come home and you and your old lady fight.
So you go in your man cave, she goes to whatever cave she's in, and the next day you start it over. And I'm gonna tell you this.
Something like that.
Right.
You were created to walk in the glory of God. You were created to
listen to me, man. You were created to be excited to come home to your wife and enjoy the wife of your youth. You were created, one amen out of all the men.
Amen.
It's like, if you don't love your wife, we need a whole lot of repentance this morning, all right?
Amen.
But here's what I want to say. You're like, well, I don't look forward to coming home with my wife. How long are you going to live like that? How long do you want to live like that? Wives? Man, I don't want to go home with him. Divorce is the answer. No, it's not. That's called jumping in the hog pen and looking around at everybody else who's divorced going, this must be normal.
Right.
Now, watch this. I want you to watch this because this will radically, if this grabs a hold of you, it will radically alter and change everything
in your life. There we go. Thank you, buddy. I was going to get pretty loud. I thought I was home. All right, I'm going to calm down. I'm not going to talk so loud, all right? I just want to say this, y'all. I'm not up here trying to hammer you. I'm very passionate because I want the best for you. Do you not know? I ain't saying, hey, be like me. Don't be like me. But look to the one that I look to, because I'm telling you, I used to have all this churchy stuff and this religious stuff. And you know the story. My family fell apart and I got what religion had for me and I got what sin had for me. And by the grace of God, along the way, somehow God's spirit finally communicated this message and it went beyond my noodle. Into my heart, and it radically changed the whole course of my life and family and generations. I ain't telling you to do better and come to church more. Watch this. It's not about that. It's about Jesus. Watch what the boy says in verse 17. He says, oh man, I'm running out of time. I'm going to go quick. Watch this. He said, but when he came to himself, he finally come to the place in the hog pen where he's like, this ain't where I need to be. How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare and I'm perishing with hunger? That's the insanity of sin. I will arise. Watch what he commits to do. I will arise. I'm going to go to my father and I'm going to say to him, it's all about the words. Father, I have sinned against heaven and earth and before you. I'm no longer worthy to you, or I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. You see what he's doing? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to church. And I'm going to tell my dad, I'm going to work my way out. I'm going to work back into good stead. I know I've totally shamed you. And I know I've done some things that I'm confessing. But you know, it's almost like the sinner's prayer. Confessing. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make some promises and commitments. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to do better. I'm going to stop this and I'm going to start that. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to talk to my wife, you know, a little bit at night. You know, I'm going to do all these things, God, and surely I'll work my way back into good standings. That's called religious thought process. And you know what will happen? You'll keep your commitment for a little while until the real you kicks in and you'll kick out. Is that not what we see as a large pattern in the church? Roller coaster. Everybody said, man, commitment, knew this, knew that. Hey, blah, 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 blah. Judge Roy screamed. You look up and go, where'd that person go? Backslidden. Oh, that's the 137th one this month. Something ain't right.
That's right. Come on.
Watch this. This is so good right here. I love this. Verse 20, he arose and he came to his father. Watch this. I love it. But when he was still a great way off, father didn't wait for him to get close. When he was a great way off, his father saw him. He had compassion. He ran, fell on his neck, and he kissed him. Now, I want you to see this. Imagine this boy. He's been for months in a hog pen. He's wearing rags. His hair's all grown out. His beard's grown out. He looks like somebody on Duck Commander without brushing his hair. He probably is unrecognizable. He stinks. He is filthy. That's where sin brings us to. Unrecognizable. Can't see the glory of God in my life. You know why? Because it's covered with filth. He comes walking down the road. I don't know. This is just a thought process. He might have walked through town and people are like, lock your door. That boy used to be so respected in this town. Everybody knew him. He was the life of the party. All of a sudden he's walking, people are like, stay away from him. Don't go by him. Homeless dude. Who knows what he's going to do? But here's the cool thing. They might not reckon him, but while he was a long way off, his daddy stood up on the porch. He's like, that's my boy. It's my boy. Now watch this. Watch what he does. Very important here. Says that he ran. In that culture, the men did not run. You would not run. Why? Because you were held in high honor. They would approach you. So what was this? What is Jesus communicating here? That the Father did what? He set aside his honor and he took on disgrace in order to meet his son a long ways off in his filth where he was. And in love, he embraced him. Do you not see the story of the cross of Jesus right there? He stepped down. He looked at you when you were a long ways off, not close, not at church on Sunday, but a long ways off. And he's like, I'm going to that boy. I'm going to that girl. He didn't just walk or stroll. He didn't come up and say, hey, get it right. He ran to you, embraced that boy. He embraced that boy in his filthiness. Boy's face is buried in his daddy's chest. He stinks. He's awful. His daddy doesn't blink twice about it. Kisses him on the neck, and the boy gives a speech. I've sinned. God made me as one of your hired, Father made me one of your hired servants. His dad didn't even respond. He didn't even acknowledge the words the boy spoke. So what did he do? He turned around. Don't miss this. He turned around and he said, he called one of his servants. He said, bring a robe, bring a ring, bring a pair of shoes. My boy was gone. He's back. He's lost. He's found. He's dead. He's alive. Now, how did this boy go from being filthy and awful to being totally pure and clean and whole and going to a party to celebrate that he was home? This is how he did it. Think about it. Here comes the servant. The father didn't say, hey, take a bath, get cleaned up, and we'll talk. He's like, I'll take care of everything. This is what love and grace, this is the love and grace of God that I can't register with me. I'm like, I want to talk about all the mess I've made. I want to talk about all the people I've hurt. I want to talk about all the darkness that I've involved. I want to talk about how I disgrace your name. He's like, be silent. I just want you to stand there and I want you to receive. The servant comes up. I think he's a picture of Jesus. Puts the robe on him. It's a picture of his righteousness. Like, I'm going to take care of the rags. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. I'm going to clothe you in my glory again. I'm going to restore you back to what I intended you to be. The ring. He's like, put a ring on. Think about this. What did the boy not want? He didn't want no authority in his life. I don't want you telling me when we come to the place where the boy is doing what? He's humbling himself to the authority of the Father. He's recognizing that by coming to his Father. And his Father said, you know what? When you come in under my authority, I give you authority. That ring, that boy could go anywhere, get anything that he wanted to, and he could go, this is my daddy's ring. And they would acknowledge that God gives you the full authority of the kingdom when you come in under the authority of the king. Amen. Gosh, y'all get that. And the good thing is, said, what about the sandals? The boy came to him and said, make me as one of your hired servants. Servants went barefooted. Only sons got sandals. What was the daddy saying? Can you imagine this father? I don't know, maybe the father put it on him. Put the ring on him, bowed down like Jesus, washed feet. His old dirty feet, and he put the sandals on like, put his arm around like, let's go home. I'm going to walk with you the rest of the way. We're going to celebrate when we get there. People, that's grace. Now here's where I'm at. I hope everybody in this room goes, I've received that in my life. I don't deserve it. I don't even comprehend it, but I got to have it. If you're here today, I don't care how filthy you are, what you've done, how you've sinned, what you've involved your life in. Jesus is like, I'll run to you. You just give me a glance. You give me a turn. You turn to me and go, is it possible? And he's like, he'll run to you. He's like, I'll provide. Grace provides everything. And you're starving? Well, I got something for you. It's called the fatted calf. It's the very best. It's the very best. God, the life God has for you is the very best. Maybe you're here and go, I've experienced that. Got to be careful that you don't end up like the older son. Because there's a lot of prodigals out there and go, like, what is he doing coming home? Because he needed the same thing that transformed your sorry life. That's right. And we, as the church, should be the ones running to those people to go, man, let me tell you. I wonder what would it have been like. I'm finished right here. Stay with me. I wonder what it'd been like for that boy to go, hey, Dad, it was a great party. I'm so excited to be here. But you know what? There's a couple other guys in that pig pen. I got to go tell them because this totally changed who I am. They're not even going to recognize me. He didn't go back to the pen pen to go, hey, I'm partying with you again. He went back to the pig pen if he did to go, hey, y'all recognize me? Who are you? This is what my Father can do for you too. Maybe you're hearing your religious person go, I don't get none of this stuff. I'm going to pray for you. That's all I can do. Because until you come to the point, understand this, Jesus in this scripture come to save sinners. If you ain't a sinner, you can't be saved. You understand that? You're not a sinner. You can't be saved. Well, I'm just kind of hanging around until it gets to the point where I'm going to die and then I'm going to pray a prayer. Prayers don't do nothing. It's the position of your heart to humble yourself and recognize I'm a godless, lost sinner. I have no hope other than the hope that's offered me by the mercy of God through Jesus. And I'm going to come in under his authority. He is Lord. I am not. I'm going to receive his love, his forgiveness, his full pardon, his grace, his mercy, and his goodness in my life. And I'm going to walk with him the rest of the way home. Will you stand with your head bowed and your eyes closed? Ooh, if you're a child of God, that was good. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I love you. I thank you so much for loving us, God. Just overwhelmed, Lord, when we look at your word to see how much you love us, Lord. God, I just thank you that you're with us. I don't know what that walk home was like. Maybe it was a long walk. Maybe it was a difficult walk. But this is what I know. You walked with the boy. Thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us. Your grace is always more than enough. I thank you, Lord, that you said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you. Looking forward to that place. Looking forward to that celebration when we see the finality of your grace and your love and your goodness. Lord, I know that we live in a country where religion is king. And I pray, God, if there's people in this room where religion is king, I pray they'd take that crown off this morning, that you would become king. They would see how much you love them. Pray they'd realize, Lord, there's no guilt, there's no shame, there's no condemnation, there's no failure, there's no sin that you wouldn't run to save and to restore and to renew. God, I just pray you would move in a mighty way in the heart of the people here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.